Hi, this is Guy Busick, and I am a co-writer of a couple episodes of Castle Rock Season 2 and the movies Ready or Not and the 2022 Scream. And you are listening to the Don't Go Out There podcast.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Review Podcast. Just want to thank all our fans and listeners. We really appreciate all support. You guys are awesome. As you most know, if you're a horror fan, Scream fan, Scream 6 just released their most recent trailer. We got our really good friend of the show, Patrick Maroney, the writer of the It All Began With a Scream book. We got him back to come on the show with us. He's gonna give us his thoughts on the trailer. He's gonna give us his thoughts on where this movie is going. I'm super excited to have Patrick back. I'm excited to talk about this trailer as well because this movie looks really intriguing, and that's coming from the self-admitted not the biggest Scream fan on the podcast. But I'm excited to hear Brian's thoughts, Patrick's thoughts, and we also have a friend of the show, Joe. She's joining us as well this morning. Brian, do you want to give us your thoughts on the trailer?
Oh man, I mean it looks. And I don't know, trailers can be deceiving, but there's nothing about this that doesn't look good to me personally. Now, I know Patrick probably has some thoughts himself. First of all, let me get out of there. I am so glad that they changed the name of this damn movie, because we were so worried that it was going to be the Scream with the two slashes that were, like kind of had a hidden six in it, I think at first, or some bull crap. And I was mad, even though I'm the maddest that they didn't call Scream 5 Five Cream to begin with. But I'm so glad that it went with Scream 6 and just said, forget it. We're just going to make fans happy. And look, I am going to say this right off the bat. Everybody knows how huge of a Kevin Williamson stan I am on the show. This is in very good hands, I feel like. And I don't want to say the franchise needed it, because I would have never said that before, but it just seems like, given these two movies, and I haven't seen Scream 6 yet, obviously, but given these two movies, it seems like it needed some new blood. What do you guys feel about that?
Well, first, Brian, did you see the shirt that Jack Quaid gave everyone at Wrap for the last movie that was...
Yes. Yes.
My dream, yeah. going into this one, I'm kind of excited because I feel like, one, we know that these guys are huge super Scream fans, just like a lot of us. And I feel like with the last movie, they got the fan service out of the way, the Ghost Cave notwithstanding. I've trademarked that Ghostface little shrine cave.
Nice, I like it.
The Ghost Cave notwithstanding, like I have a really strong feeling that like a lot of the fan service is out of the way now, and they're just going to be free to do what they want. So I think we're really going to get their vision with this one, which I think is exciting to really see what and. The thing is, we're getting that new blood, but you still have Marianne Madalena, Kathy Conrad, Courtney right. Cox that are still. So you still have that main core. And Courtney is a producer on this one also. So you still have those people have been there since the beginning that'll help. And Kevin, obviously, to right. steer if they start going too far off script. But they'll still be able to inject that new blood into it.
Yeah, sure. So just kind of right off the bat, I got to meet Roger Jackson, last September. He signed my mask. You can't see it, but it's up there. And I was talking to him about Scream 6, and he actually told me back in September that it was centered in New York. And I was so excited that we finally got out, not finally got out of Woodsboro, but I was like, that's such a good, transition into something that could, push the series in a different direction. Because, it's a moneymaker. People are going to spend money to go see it. And I think, to get, new story lines without needing to be stuck in Woodsboro, because I feel like that's just kind of like the rinse and repeat plot line of Scream. So I don't know if everybody knew that back in September, but I felt kind of special that I got to know that right from Roger Jackson's mouth. He's like, yeah, we just finished shooting. It's set in New York. And he's like, that's about all I can say. And I'm like, all right, sweet. Super nice guy, by the way. He spoke in his Scream voice the whole time I was talking to him. It was pretty awesome. But that's just kind of my general thoughts. I like the way they've got the, still some of the old cast, but with the new, kind of up and coming Scream Queens, as if you will. I think it's good. I think it sets a scene for a new path for the franchise. I'm excited.
I'll just go real quick. Brian, who am I to say that Kevin Williamson needs to step away from this franchise? He's been there from the beginning, but you know, I do think the film's in good hands. Super excited to have Guy Busick back on in the future. His interview is incredible. I love talking to him. He's super smart. I'm Joe just mentioned, you know, Scream Queens of today. Jenna Ortega, I'm a huge fan of hers. But, you know, I love Courtney Cox as well. So you get kind of some of the past and the future all in one movie. I don't know what to expect with this movie, and I like that. So, I mean, I kind of agree with all of you. I hope we do something a little bit different. I hope it's not just another – I'm obsessed with Ghostface, or I'm obsessed with the fame that comes with it, or something like that. I'm intrigued to see what happens. So I'll say that, and I'm sure we all picked up on some Easter eggs. I've watched several YouTube videos breaking it down because, you know, I don't have the time to break down a 2.5-minute trailer to make 20 minutes of content. That's incredible. Somebody can actually do that and identify all the different masks and horror villains in the subway and all the different pieces of Scream memorabilia that are in the Batcave, as Patrick called it. I like that. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I'll just leave it at that, Brian. I'm intrigued, and I think the best thing you can say about it is Kevin Williamson is very happy with the film. So I think the biggest problem that we have with, like, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake is they didn't even consult Wes Craven. He wasn't happy with it. So as long as, you know, you get some approval from the past, that makes it better, I feel like. So that's I'll just leave that at that, Brian. You said you had some other questions for us?
Well, I mean, you brought up the ghost cave, Patrick. So talk about a little bit about that. Talk about some of those Easter eggs that everybody's finding in there. What do you think about that?
Which also, can I just say, to come on this podcast, I had to break my own rule. Because with this, like with any other series, I don't care if I watch trailers or whatnot. But I always try to go into the Scream movies as blank as possible. So I watched the trailer once and then never again. So I had to watch it like 4 times to be able to speak intelligent. Well, let's not get carried away, but to be able to speak about it. But, like the Ghost Cave, it has, you know, a bunch of the ghost face masks. If you look, they have, like Olivia's outfit, Tatum's outfit. Jill, it looks like they have a bunch of knives and props. I'm guessing it's Stab and not like actually from the murders that we saw on screen, because that would open a whole plot hole. But so it's probably like a Stab shrine in the Ghost Cave. But the one thing is, I was actually hoping we would move away from Stab a little bit with it, because the Stab part, I think, has gotten a little more of a joke than it should be. You know, it was good the way they did it in the last one with, you know, the Rian Johnson and everything, but I don't think Stab adds a ton to the series anymore, especially with the way they did the opening of the fourth movie. I think that hurt Stab for a lot of people when they did one too many fake outs.
I gotcha. Well, okay, so you brought that up with the plot hole, possibly. Now, this kind of opens up an entire new thing here with Kirby being, I don't know if she's an FBI agent, I don't know if she's a cop. I like you, wanted to try for once to stay a little bit in the dark about it. I just saw her with the badge, so she's obviously in law enforcement somewhere. So if that is stuff from previous killings and not the Stab movies, she would have access to it. Just throwing that out there.
You know what? And actually, not to jump too far ahead, but like I was actually just talking to some people about like ways that they could, if they wanted to, like really change up the format, like bring Kirby back and have her be the killer. You yeah. know, it'd be like a Rebecca Gayhart urban legend trauma right. thing, mm-hmm. you know. And right. also, like we know in these movies that there's always two Ghostface. Kill one of the Ghostface in the second act so that yes. the characters think that they're safe. And then, like, the third act bloodbath starts and they're all caught off guard again. Like, how awesome would that be to see, like, just completely changing the format in that way?
Yeah, exactly. And I said that, I think, when we were doing one of the Scream reviews, two or three, where it's just like, kill one of them early on and then reveal it then, you know, and then maybe get a surprise later, or just have one for once. Who knows? You know, I mean, I know that's kind of a just, you know, I don't know. I don't want them to go too far out of the way anyway. Joe, what do you think about Gail finally getting a phone call? Like, she finally gets a Ghostface phone call. It's shown in the trailer. What do you think about that?
I think it's funny that they're still using a landline, number one.
That's that up. True.
It wasn't a cell phone. To backtrack to number five, I like that they brought up Into the Future. I know you guys talked about this when you reviewed it, but I like that it was a cell phone and whatever. Yeah. And I like that she's, you know, standing up to him and, you know, she's always done that in the past, but yeah, the thing that stuck out most to me was that it was a landline, and I like that they kind of stick to that. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me feel like it's too old or too nostalgic or tropes that they've done in the past. I actually like it. I like that they kind of keep it. But in saying that, you know, the way the trailer is right now, you know, as she's talking to him, and you can see Ghostface in the back swooping up whoever that he's swooping up, he or she. And they're still talking. So to me, it still feels like there's two, because just the way that scene is yeah. in the trailer, you know, I mean, unless they're not trying to be super.
Yes. Yeah, they cut it wrong, it differently or whatever.
Yeah. But
go ahead, Nico.
No, I was just going to comment on the Gale thing. Number one, I thought the line was cringy as hell, personally. The "I'm going to shoot you in the head." I'm like, Gale, you've been in five of these. You could have gave me a little better line than "I'm going to shoot you in the head." But that's just me. But the second thing I was going to – this is just a question. Do y'all think – there's no way they spoiled Gale's kill, right? Like, that can't be her death scene.
I don't think so.
I mean, a part of me thinks, like, they did, but a part of me thinks, like, they wouldn't do that. But then they're trying to do something different, so – Scream has my head all in a pretzel.
So, I have two thoughts with this. So, one, any of the previous Screams, they have really highlighted the opening of the movie, which
right.
they don't seem to do with this, unless it is the Gale part. Which I don't think that they would kill Gale in the opening, because we know she's in other scenes. Right. It could be a Jenna Ortega situation with the last one, which I think the last opening was probably the best since Drew Barrymore. Yeah. And, but it would still throw people off if they saw Gale getting the call in the opening. So I'm of the thought that either that's the opening, or they say later that the Scooby Gang is going to set a trap for Ghostface. So I think it's either the opening or she's the bait for it. So I think that it's not showing her getting killed. I think it's one of those two options, and they'll pop out of the cake or something to save her.
Well, speaking of the opening, I mean, and this would kind of fit the Guy Busick and their little formula there. A lot of people are saying that Samara Weaving's character, Sasha, that they kind of just showed a little glimpse of maybe the opening kill, because, you know, it's Samara Weaving's huge right now. You know, besides Jenna Ortega, I mean, she's one of the biggest Scream queens out right now. She may be the opening. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Go ahead, Joe.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know, to be honest.
Do you like Samara Weaving? What do you think about her?
Yeah, she's great.
Because I don't think Dustin does.
Why?
No. I don't know. He's got a problem with her. I don't know.
Her scream. He hates her scream.
Yeah.
he's in so much trouble then right now. She's literally in a movie called Scream.
Yeah. Right.
If she's not the opening, she's either going to be the opening or the Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jenny McCarthy, where has like two scenes.
Yeah.
Because they also have, that's usually a bigger person. You know, it was Henry Winkler, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jenny McCarthy.
Right.
And then in four, you had Olivia Butt. And then you had Sheriff Judy in the fifth one. So they always have kind of a bigger person as the second really kill. Because I don't count Kyle Gellner as like a real character in the fifth one. But like, he's still a bigger name than some of them. So, yeah, so she's going to be one of those two. Like, she's not making it out of the movie alive unless she is Ghostface. Well, Ghostface never makes it out alive either. So scratch that.
That's true. But and you know what? That kind of brings me to the next thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nico. Do you have something to say about Samara Weaving? What do you think?
No, I was just going to say that on IMDb, she still doesn't have a name on there. I mean, I know I've seen it where she's called Sasha, but on IMDb, her name is still just Samara Weaving. So I know you get like the little homage to her character in Ready or Not on the subway. I'm really curious what they do with her. Like I said, man, my head's kind of in a pretzel. Like, I want to know what they do with Samara Weaving because she's a huge name. I mean, do you bring her in just to kill her off at the very beginning? I mean, you could. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a big enough actress now where she would have that kind of impact like Ortega did in the last one, Drew Barrymore in the first one. But I could also see her maybe being a ghost face, being a killer maybe. I mean, I don't know. Because what, the Scream 4 had a female killer, Scream 2 had a female killer, 5 had a female ghost face. So why not have her as one of the ghost face? But the only question I have is about that is the guy who plays the Ghostface stuntman, which I just looked up and I forgot his name already, but he's 5'10". So I've been looking at all the other guys' height. I'm like, all right, who else is kind of the same height? Maybe I can figure it out that way. But I feel like I don't think that's going to work.
No.
Based on Scream 4, that does not work because you had like Nico Tortorella, they're like 7 feet tall. And then Emma Roberts and Eric Knudsen, Eric's like, we're like 3 feet tall in comparison. Like, they had to get like apple boxes for them to stand on. So, like, I don't think we can go by the stuntmen or ladies.
Well, so, if I'm not mistaken, we asked Guy Busick when he came on if he had kind of plans for other ones. And he, you know, was like, no, we just focused on 5. But he did kind of, I think, hint to having an arc. Let's say they have a 3-movie arc. Let's say that, you know, what if this is the one time we don't get the ghost face that dies and moves into a 7 and goes after Sydney? If she is, in fact, secretly not in this one, you know, maybe. Go ahead, Patrick.
Oh, sorry, I just wanted to say, not to interrupt. So
what I
heard the original plan was with Sydney was she was never, this was always Gail's movie, and that Sydney never had a big part in this one, and that the 7th one was, it was almost like with this trilogy, like the first one was Dewey, because let's be honest, until the end, Sydney and Gail didn't really, and then this was going to focus on Gail, and then the next one was going to close out with Sydney. So
I heard that too. Good.
Yeah.
You heard that. Okay. Good. Well, see, I mean, and what if this, like I said, what if this ghost face doesn't die here and goes after Sydney in this one, in the next one? But, you know, it kind of brings us to what Joe was talking about off air a little bit. And, you know, Kevin Williamson came out and, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter, but he did say in December 16th Collider that Stu is dead. So, What do you think about that, Joe? Everybody's probably, you know, a lot of people want Stu Mocker back.
Oh, I think it's a tease. I don't think it can be Stu just based on how far into the series we are and we've heard nothing. Like we got to see Billy as a
ghost Billy.
Yeah, Ghost Billy, I guess is a good way to put it. It's a hallucination. Which I didn't love it the first time I saw it, but like the after the rewatch, I was like, you know, that was a good way to like bring him back without bringing him back and making him a ghost face again. And
right.
As much as I love Stu's character, he's one of my favorite characters in the first one. I don't think it would make good sense to have him be alive all this time. Like, that doesn't make sense. So I hope, you know, what Kevin Williamson said was accurate. I mean, I know it's accurate. He said it, but I don't think with the new folks writing, I don't think they would do that.
Nico, you would hate that.
Oh, I would hate it. but I mean, it's like too many times, and this is my, you know, I tweeted the other day about Kirby. I know that Wes Craven had teased, like, she could be alive, and that's fine. I know she's a fan favorite, but so many times in this franchise, we've showed the people who survived, you know, carried out on stretchers. It just kind of annoys me that they showed Kirby get – I rewatched Scream 4, like, 2 days ago, and she took two pretty good stabs from a big knife, and they just showed her laid on the ground. So I assume she was dead. I mean, I don't feel like it would have been too hard to show her taken out on a stretcher. Like, it just kind of bothers me that, oh, she's been alive the whole time. I mean, you could do the same thing with Stu. Why not? I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah. I mean, you should have David Arquette getting pulled off on a stretcher how many times? Mindy and the other guy in Scream 5. I can't remember his name. Mason? His name Mason?
Mason.
Sure. They got took off on a stretcher, and they showed they were alive. Like, what's so hard about showing that they survived?
Chad, I think.
I do have a question, though, about Stu after everyone else answers, though.
Well, I think, well, especially since Scream 4's ending took place in the hospital, like, it makes sense they could have shown Kirby. Yes. But that was the thing also, like, Wes was always like, well, you know, we didn't see her die, and in the book, when I talked to Rory Culkin, he said that he thought that Charlie gave her a chance, you know, but Kevin had come out and said that his intention was for her to be dead. But honestly, if a horror site wants to get headlines and get attention, they just have to write a Stu is alive article and people will lose their shit. It's like the Stu truthers are like the QAnon of horror. Like they are crazy, and like the leaps of logic that they will take to find ways for him to be alive, you know, with what Nico said, like, we haven't heard anything about Stu in 25 years being alive. Like, if he was alive or in prison, someone would have mentioned it at some point. Like, we did get with Kirby in the fifth movie that YouTube. Like, they're not just going to ignore that this guy is in prison, you know, where it would have worked possibly with the third one if they went with that original plan if Kevin wrote the movie. But because not as much time had passed, but it's just now too much time has passed. Like, he's not going to be living like the Unabomber in the woods.
It's not like
in Halloween where, like, they had a cult that like scurried his body away and nursed him back to health. And he's been living like the Unabomber for 25 years just to pop out in the ghost cave.
Patrick, it's funny you brought up the cult thing, because I watched a couple of YouTube videos about this, and they were talking about Stu like had like a secret cult that was obsessed with Ghostface. That's how they got all the shrine stuff. I was like, this is this one hell of a reach right here.
Well, I don't mind the cult thing. As long as, I mean, they don't have to be worshiping Stu and Stu be alive to do that. I mean, you could have, you know, there are people that do that, period. I mean, there are, you know, but I don't know where you would get a hold of all of that. It takes us back to the evidence. Like, where would you get a hold of all of that evidence if that is, in fact, the real stuff and not stuff from Stab, which it looks pretty damn accurate to the real stuff and not necessarily what they would kind of cheaply do in a Stab movie, but I don't know.
Wait, why are you saying the Stab movies are cheap? They had... Did you see the cast? They had David Schwimmer, Tori Spelling. That's like, those movies had to have been like top
tier.
Well, and if you look in that Batcave, there's a shirt that I was watching, a breakdown, and one of the shirts that was in there was Lucy Hale's. They believe it's Lucy Hale's characters, like the yellow shirt where she got stabbed and stabbed. So, I mean, it might be from Stab. I mean, I don't know. I'm excited to see it, though.
Yeah, it might be. I'm very excited about the explanation. I'm very excited about, the New York setting being something different. I'm very excited about the new blood and the new life that seems to be injected in here, and this franchise doesn't seem to be anyway yet, isn't falling into the same age old trope that we've gotten with Halloween, with Nightmare on Elm Street, with Friday the 13th, where it's just recycle, rinse, and repeat. And we are getting good stuff and not going to space. Just throwing that out
there. So I want to get your guys' opinion. So I'll be that guy.
Okay.
The bodega scene in the trailer doesn't really work for me. Like, especially at the opening of the trailer, out of context, maybe it's amazing in the context of whatever chase scene it is, but the bodega scene just really isn't working for me in the trailer. I like the Gale scene, the subway scene is good, but like with moving it to New York, I feel like it's almost like they were afraid of being Jason Takes Manhattan, that they're now throwing every New York thing that they can. Like, let's go to a bodega. Let's go on the subway. Let's everywhere except Times Square, since they filmed in Montreal, we're going to see every New York thing. There will probably, Times Square Elmo will probably show up.
It probably will.
Times Square Elmo is actually Ghostface. I'm calling it now. that's my only thing is, like, I hope they don't go too far into trying to, like, for lack of a better word, like, convince us that they're in New York. What do you guys think of that?
I think that you're probably 100% right. I think that they will hit all the landmarks and do everything like that. That doesn't bother me, I guess, so much. Look at what they did in Scream 3. They didn't hit all the landmarks in California, right? But, this isn't the first movie or installment to take us out of Woodsboro, thankfully. So, I'm ready for a scene change, for a setting change, personally.
Like you said, Patrick, I want to see the whole context of it, but I like to see my slashers like in public. Like, I think it's going to be really cool. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like Jason Takes Manhattan, and I get it, but seeing him in Times Square, I thought was awesome. I'm excited to see Ghostface amongst a bunch of random people that don't know what's going on. So I'm kind of curious how he got so fast and avoided that shotgun shell, but but seeing him in that bodega, Jenna Ortega is awesome, so I'm excited to see her. It looks like a really tense scene. Sam, I think she's just okay. I'll see if she's any better in this one. I wasn't the biggest fan personally, but I do love.
I'm a fan.
I'm excited to see it, but then again, it might stink, man. It might not be any good.
Well, and let me just say before Joe weighs in, I think that they've taken care of that. I don't think it's going to be a bad movie. Like, I think there's enough care that was put into it, and there's enough from the trailer. They're just going really hard in the New York, like the tagline of New York, new rules, and like the marketing, like they did a New York Times crossword puzzle. Like, they're one step away from like starting the OnlyFans between Ghostface and the Statue of Liberty to market this movie. Like, that's my only concern. Like, they're going really hard. And I put a really bad image in all of your minds, didn't I? Admit it.
Well, yes.
Definitely.
Joe, what do you think?
It's funny that you bring up the bodega part, because when the trailer dropped, right before I watched it, I was watching some true crime episode. I don't even know what it was anymore. It was in New York, and this kid was getting chased by a bunch of people that were trying to beat him up. And he literally ran into a bodega and the guys followed him in there and just like beat the hell out of him and dragged him out. And then Brian actually texted me that the trailer dropped. I'm like, oh my gosh, let me go watch it. And then it literally was that exact scene that I just watched from the True Crime video. So it's funny that you even bring that up, because I was like, wow, that's remarkably similar to what I literally just watched. But
it's probably,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's probably one of the only cities where you could chase somebody into a scene, stab them, kill them, shoot them, and nobody give a shit.
Yeah, he's like, just don't do it in here. Please do it in the sidewalk. Get out of here. I don't want to clean that up.
The amount of food that we will have to replace if you spill blood on it. We'll have
now,
to
there's a lot of count it. You know, we've seen Ghostface use guns throughout the series. Obviously, they're different Ghostfaces and whatnot. I mean, they're just people with masks. What do you guys think about the shotgun scene? There's a lot of people not happy that he's not wielding a knife, but seem to forget that we've had guns throughout the whole series. What do you think about that?
Horror fans being crybabies, like always.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I mean, if you watch the whole trailer, it's obviously just one scene, and he only took the gun from the shop owner. It's not like he walked in with it. I mean, he just, whoever's playing Ghostface did what they had to do to survive and kill the shop owner. I mean, like, Jesus Christ, horror fan. Like, can y'all shut up and just enjoy what you're watching? Like, I'm kind of having that running issue with a lot of movies recently.
Thank you.
I think when the trailer, because there was an image from the bodega scene that originally got out with him holding the shotgun, them holding the shotgun, because we don't, it could be a lady. I remember a lot of people crying about that. But I think the trailer did show, like you said, Nico, the context of Ghostface isn't just walking around carrying a sawed off shotgun. I think that would have been a little crazy, but also, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong since you said this. I think the only time we've actually seen Ghostface use a gun, though, is after the unmasking. I don't think we've seen Ghostface use while masked, so I think that's new.
No, you're right about that. I just, I kind of put them the one in the same, but yeah, no, I get that. I completely get it. I thought he had a gun while he was masked. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Roman.
Yeah.
Roman.
I can't remember. Screen 3, I kind of just forget about.
Shame. But so, Brian, this actually is a question that I've been having with people too, is there's obviously someone different under the mask in each movie. So how much should we be looking at Ghostface as a character unto itself versus the different characters under the mask? You know, right. Are there certain characteristics that we should just expect from Ghostface of there'll always be a knife, there won't be a gun, or should we be looking at it as individual cases each time?
No, I agree with that 100%. If it's the same guy under the mask every time, yes. But I mean, we're getting different ones. We're getting two or three at a time sometimes. So yeah, I completely agree with you.
I think the fact that everybody is dressing up as Ghostface. I mean, they're bound to follow a lot of the same things as done prior. So I think the knife is kind of like the mask in the sense it's just like a part of the Ghostface. And if they're already going as far to dressing up as Ghostface, I don't think the knife is too far away. Back to the gun. I think it's crazy that there aren't more. I know it's a whole slasher thing and that, people want to see things other than guns, but it's like, it's the most common weapon that you can find, I feel like, to cause instant damage. So why not? Like, I don't think it ruins it. It doesn't bother me.
It wouldn't bother me with Ghostface because it's a regular human. But like, I don't want to see Jason or Michael Myers. Yeah, right. It takes away from their aura that they're super strong. Yeah. I mean, they're not supposed to be like humans technically. But transitioning, honestly, that's a great way to transition. You know, we all watch the trailer. The mask looks aged, kind of like Halloween does now.
Yes.
At the end of it, Mike brought it up, but I listened for it again. You kind of hear that shh at the end of the trailer. Are they going somewhere different with Ghostface? He says he's different than the rest of them. Are they going to go more supernatural, something different with it?
I don't know. I hope not. I don't think so, though.
I don't think so either. But it's just I'm wondering. He says he's a different kind of Ghostface. You've never dealt with me or this kind before. I mean, the Easter egg is there, I guess.
I definitely heard the Jason thing too at the end.
So, Nico, paramount. Are you on board saying that it's Ghost Stew as Ghostface this time?
I wouldn't know what. I would probably be speechless if that happened. I wouldn't know what to say.
Same. I would not be happy about that.
I legitimately have no idea who could be Ghostface. I don't think it's any of the. I mean, I don't think it's any of the crew from the last one. I don't see how it could be or why it would be. It's kind of recycled that. I don't know.
My money is on sisters Lois and Murphy from Scream 2, Rebecca Gayhart and Portia de Rossi just kind of lost it, and that's why they have the ghost cave. They've been getting all the materials as it's happened. So that's what my money's on. And Samara Weaving is their love child that they adopted.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's like a whole thing of Ghostface. You heard it here first.
Well, I mean, I saw that, like, Henry Cerny, I think that's how you say his name, he's a professor. I mean, do you think he's the one who has all this stuff? Like, maybe he's kind of obsessed with it? I mean, think about Urban Legend. Robert Englund was a professor, and he had all that stuff in his office. I mean, are they going that kind of route, maybe? Like, I don't know. Just a lot of questions you can ask.
I don't know. Well, we're getting on 37 minutes here. You guys have anything, any other final thoughts? We'll just go around the horn one more time. What do you guys think? Patrick?
Can I go last?
Okay. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So just kind of my final thoughts. I love the look of the mask. Like Nico said, it does kind of give you that Halloween 18 vibes. I wasn't expecting it because it's been, you know, the same like pure white mask up until now. And I think that's really super cool. I like the effects. I'm sure people are going to hate it, but I personally really like it. Seeing Kirby back, I think that's pretty cool. I can't wait to see what they do with her character. I really actually hope it's not Kirby is Ghostface because I feel like that's the most obvious choice, and I don't think that they would pick the most obvious one. The shrine looks super cool. I can't wait to see what they do with the how they explain that, if it's going to be Sab or if it's actual evidence, and how did they get it, that whole thing. I'm really excited. I think it's new, different. I think it'll be good.
Nico?
I pretty much just echo what I've been saying. I'm just excited to see what happens. It does seem really different. The vibes seem different to me. I'm excited to go watch it. Hopefully get a better theater crowd, Jesus Christ, this time. I just want one good theater crowd. But really, I'm just happy that we all could do this. You know, it's fun to talk about our favorite horror movies. I'm glad you could join us, Patrick. I want you to make sure you shout your book out one more time at the end. We'll make sure we share links. Go check his book out. It's awesome. If you're a Scream fan, there's no reason why you shouldn't have it at this point. But yeah, I'm excited to watch it. Brian, you can go ahead and go next.
Yeah, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see me holding up the book right now. If you don't have a signed copy, sorry, couldn't be me. Just going to throw that out there. Look, as far as my thoughts on the thing, I've said this before when we've done a few reviews. To me, it doesn't matter to me anymore who the Ghostface is. That's to me secondary now. You know, now I just want to see the progression of the story, the progression of my quote family now that we've come to love, that I've come to love and want to see how their lives progress and what kind of new shit that they have to get out of. And, you know, I just want to see a good story, and I'm very excited about, I want them to do what Patrick just said and have the seventh one focus on Sydney and kind of have the arc, and maybe that even be the last one. I want that to be the case. I would love to see that in a true, you know, just correlated story that all runs together nicely. I would love to see that. It all began with a Scream book. If you can't see the screen, if you can't, you know, couldn't see it on YouTube, it all began with a Scream book. Patrick Maroney, go check it out if you want to see. It's an amazing book. Go ahead, Patrick.
But the other thing is, this has such a large cast. So, kind of like what we were saying, and that's why I had to go last, because I don't have anything to say. A lot of what people were saying with the last one being a lot darker, I feel like this is going to be like 10 times darker than the last movie. And also, we have probably the biggest cast since Scream 2. They've got to kill some of the, we had 17 survivors from the last movie. Some of them have to go. Twins, probably Chad's going to be the first one to go out of them. But so it's just like, I think we're going to have some good chase scenes. Hopefully, like, it's just going to be like balls to the wall, like, for 2 hours. So that's what I'm most looking forward to. And just, you know, seeing how the story continues to progress and how. And Radio Silence is still so early in their career to also see how they're progressing too. Right. And when they kind of have more of a, you know, more of what their vision of Scream is. Cause the last one, again, like we said, it was a lot of fan service. It was kind of connecting the other ones. So this one, they're kind of free. They're kind of like Ghostface. They're free to roam the big city.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Radio Silence. They're quickly becoming personally one of my favorite, if not my favorite, writing, directing, producing duos and trios and groups of, you know, that there is out there right now. I love what they do. I think we're just on the same page as me as a fan and them as a obviously multi-million-dollar company. Nico.
All right, let's end this reaction on this question. Does Gail die? We'll go around the horn. I'm going to say yes. Joe?
Yes.
Brian?
I would say yes.
Patrick, does Gail die?
I'm going to say no, just because she's the only one of the original three in this one. But also, being that Courtney is a producer, maybe that's how they got the trade-off, but... If they wanted to break the formula again, kill Gail, but there's something in me that thinks that she doesn't, but I wouldn't put money on it. You know, I think like Dewey, I would have put money on in the last one. There's something holding me back with this one from agreeing with you guys. I mean, we know Nev said that Sydney will never die. So like, we'll always have her, but there's something about, I just feel like Gail, think she won't.
Hey,
I kind of hope that she doesn't, to be honest with you. I hope that they don't. If they're going to kill somebody, I don't want to see Kirby go, but she would probably be, if you're going to kill a legacy character, she would be the one to go, and then maybe have Gail die, if she does die, in the next one instead of Sydney, you know since they kill her.
I just kind of feel like Gail has gotten a lot of like side injuries, shots to the hip. I feel like this might be the one where Ghostface finally, you know, finishes her off, but I'm with you, Patrick. I wouldn't bet money on it. It's like, I wouldn't feel comfortable putting my money on she dies, but I feel like they might do it in this one. But, you
Gail's
know, does anybody
have
any
natural character of Scream? Not Ghostface, it's Gail.
Yeah, right.
Does anybody have any final thoughts? Yeah, I feel like 45 minutes. I feel like we've done a great job. Joe, Patrick, thank you for joining us again. It's been awesome. Hope the fans enjoy this. I'm sure we're all super excited to see Scream 6 when it comes out. And I've already teased it, but let's just give away another book, Patrick. We'll figure out a way to give away another book somehow. We'll figure out some kind of giveaway coming in the future. Thank you for listening. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you.
Just want to remind everybody.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.